your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Coming up in this special edition to celebrate Crit Racing and the Brother UK-sponsored Tour Series, Joey Walker, the men's British circuit race champion, tells us why racing on the limit is standard operating procedure for the country's best crit rider.
The crit racing, you're setting off, you're in the red zone on lap one, and you don't come out of the red till the finish, so it's literally an hour at threshold.
Rebecca Durrell, the women's British circuit race champion, reveals that the adrenaline levels experienced on a Tour Series start line are rarely found elsewhere.
A lot of the time I have to change screen on my Garmin or whatever head unit I'm using because my heart rates are like 120 and I'm just stood there, you know, that's the adrenaline.
Mark Botley, the manager of Team Brother UK On Form, explains that his young guns are determined to give everything as they step into the Tour Series arena.
All these Tour Series races are very, very technical. In and out of corners, fast acceleration, elbows out, no quarter giving. You know, that is the key. You battle for everything. Every place is crucial.
Bill Jones, the Managing Director of Brother UK and this podcast co-host, identifies a generational opportunity for crit racing as towns and cities seek to recover from lockdown.
Local authorities need to kickstart those local economies again. They really, really do. There's a really good opportunity, I think, for 2022 for those local authorities to get re-engaged with this idea of using a sport like crit racing to get those city centres full again.
And Peter Hodgetts, Communications Director of Tour Series organiser The Sweet Spot Group, explains how short-form cycling delivers a perfect night out.
Crit racing at the end of the day is great entertainment. It's a good, free, fun, fast family night out. A bit like you see with the 2020, you know. You go home knowing who the winner was. Also, it's that cool thing of, well, I saw them racing around my town or city centre, and you can relate a bit more to that. You know, it's definitely got a place as that sort of, if you like, summer season entertainment.
Hello and welcome to this special investigative edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. Today we're putting crit racing under the microscope and, in particular, the Brother UK sponsored Tour Series, which kicks off in Gisborough on Sunday, August the 8th. Fast and furious, intense and adrenaline-fueled, these town centre crit races demand incredible fitness, supreme bike handling and zero tolerance for fear. The televised Tour Series is arguably the biggest and best-loved crit series in Britain. Founded in 2009, it's given an early platform to a host of talented riders, some of whom went on to become household names. Our expert witnesses for this episode are the reigning British circuit race champions Joey Walker and Rebecca Durrell, Mark Botley, the manager of Team Brother UK On Form, Peter Hodges, the communications director for Tour Series organiser The Sweet Spot Group, and my co-host Phil Jones, the managing director of Brother UK. With their help, we'll gain an inside line on the sporting, organisational and commercial demands of crit racing and learn just how important the Brother UK-sponsored Tour Series has become to the health of elite British cycle sport. Few events are as nerve-wracking for the riders as a round of the Tour Series. For athletes who spend most of their time training alone on country roads, to be thrust into a busy town centre to perform in front of thousands of expectant fans can set the pulse race soaring even before the race has begun. The trial is even tougher for young riders who might be making their debut in a national event. The good news for rising stars is that even champions feel the heat. Here's Rebecca and Joey.
You know, there's not very many experiences in life that quite give you that, the feelings that you get when you stood on the start line. I mean, a lot of the time I have to change screen on my Garmin or whatever head unit I'm using because my heart rates are like 120 and I'm just stood there, you know, that's the adrenaline. It's, you know what's coming, you know, it's going to be like 45 minutes of just absolutely furious races. There's often crashes. That's why you stood there with the adrenaline.
I know that feeling. It's not nice, really, because obviously it's the anticipation. You stood on the start line and you know that in 10 seconds you're going to be max heart rate. It's a not very nice feeling, but you're sort of chomping at the bit. You just want to get going, sort of thing. So yeah, the wait's never nice, but it's obviously your body's way of being ready for what's about to come. So yeah, battle.
Battle. What a word to describe a crit race. And who better to offer it than national champion Joey Walker. Brother UK will field four teams in this year's Tour Series, the Team London and Team On Form women's squads, and the Crimson Performance team, who will enter squads in both the men's and women's races. One team who knows all about the Tour Series is Team Brother UK On Form, who won rounds in 2018 with the sensational Anna Henderson, and who, in the guise of Team Brother UK Tifosi, powered by On Form, won several rounds and the overall title in 2019. Bex Durrell, who took back-to-back victories in Birkenhead and Salisbury, was a key part of the team's success. This year, Team Brother UK On Form returns with a fresh crop of young talent, including Ellen Inglis, Daisy May Barnes, and red-hot prospects Becky Story and Imani Pereira James. In fact, of the five-rider squad, only Sian Botley will have raced a Tour Series round before. Here's team manager Mark Botley on how this year's compressed, three-race, week-long series might help his young riders.
All these Tour Series races are very, very technical. In and out of corners, fast acceleration, elbows out, no quarter giving. You know, that is the key. And as well as everybody is capable of riding, I think it's only when they actually get the taste of that first one they'll actually realise exactly what a Tour Series race is like. And the beauty of having the three races so close together is if they don't do so well with the first race, then almost certainly it'll probably be just not getting to grips with the actual racing, the actual specifics of a Tour Series race. In an ideal world, we'd like all five riders to be kind of right near the front from the word go and absolutely smash it. The reality is that one or two will probably struggle with the pace of it and, you know, the speed into and out of corners. The great thing about it is that 2 days later, for those that don't get the kind of performance they're looking for, they get the chance to go again.
The Tour Series has never stopped evolving. Launched in 2009, it's become a staple of elite British road racing, the yin to the yang of British cycling's National Road Series and Sweet Spot's own Women's Tour and Tour of Britain. This year's winning teams will receive the opportunity to race in America, thanks to a partnership between Sweet Spot and USA Crits. Peter Hodges, Sweet Spot Group's communications director, has witnessed nearly every round held since 2009 and is well qualified to offer an opinion on what makes crit racing, and the Tour Series in particular, so popular.
Crit racing is, dare I say it, perhaps easier for the man in the street, the woman in the street, to understand in terms of it's shorter, sharper. It brings bike racing to the people, you know, by the virtue of being in a town or city centre. And some countries, that's what you need. In other countries with an established cycling heritage and culture, you know, they go to the events rather than needing the events brought to them. But at the same time, I'm not going to say this is like in cricket, where we need to make every form of cycling short, sharper and snappier. You know, there's definitely still a place for stage races and week-long and longer racing forms. But, you know, crit racing at the end of the day is great entertainment. It's a good sort of free, fun, fast family night out. A bit like you see with the 2020, you know, come down, watch it, have a great evening out. You go home knowing who the winner was. And, you know, also, it's that cool thing of, well, I saw them racing around my town or city centre, and you can relate a bit more to that. So, you know, it's definitely got a place as that sort of, if you like, summer season entertainment.
Races like those in the Tour Series rely on more than sporting appeal, however. A sound business model is an essential foundation. Who better, then, to comment on the economics of the Tour Series than Phil Jones, the managing director of Brother UK and this podcast co-host. As the leader of a major business, Phil has a clear understanding of the finances required to bring bike racing to town and city centres.
For commercial setup, for logistic and operational capability to move this tour from town to town, from city to city, it really is super impressive. And when you see them sort of turn up and how quickly they build it up and break it back down again. But within that, of course, what they also then have is the sort of the commercial operation that's working. Because of course, this relies on developing deep relationships with local authorities over many, many, many years in order to then win a town or a city to hold a particular round. And that's not a quick decision. There's a lot of stakeholders involved to win over in a decision like that. There's an awful lot that needs to be done in terms of bylaws to close certain places. And of course, they need to be able to talk an economic language to the local authority and the benefits of holding such a race in terms of putting somewhere on the map, getting them on the TV, what we call the GVA, the gross value add, of a race coming to a particular destination. And Sweet Spot have got a well-versed team there and a very, very good business model that allows them to go and continue to talk to local authorities about the benefits of holding a race like this over so many years now, well, for well over a decade, as we described.
There's no question then that the Tour Series is a major event. Almost uniquely in British cycle sport, it offers a ticket to the big time for young riders. So is the opportunity to race in front of thousands of people daunting, inspiring, or both? Peter Hodges sets the scene, while Rebecca Durrell reflects on the impact of a Tour Series round on a young rider racing beneath its spotlight for the first time.
We do have a lot of young riders that it's their first sort of time, if you like. And we know that, you know, a lot of riders are obviously racing, you know, crits are popular, but not all crits are in a town or city centre. So, you know, you do hear of people wanting, you know, my aim is to get into the Tour Series in the future. And I think that's because, you know, lots of these riders have probably grown up watching the ITV4 coverage and, you know, seeing the likes of a Dean Downing or Rob Hales in the early days winning those stages, you know, Ed Clancy, Laura Kenny, etc., these great names. And you see that in front of the crowds and that sort of buzz, and they'd like to be a part of that.
For girls that are developing and first coming into it, it can be such a nerve-wracking place, and I completely understand why, and it's easy to forget that. You know, you've got the girls in the bigger teams who've got all of the kit, they've got all of the bikes, the support there, everything looks so professional. And if you're part of a smaller unit where you don't necessarily get that support, and you're sorting your own bike, you don't have a mechanic, you're sometimes buying your own kit or whatever, it can be a really difficult place to be, actually. So yeah, you know, fair play to the girls who put themselves out there and get themselves on the start line. You know, all it is experience. You get used to that type of racing, and you know, if you keep on chipping away at it and working on your fitness and working on the skills that you need to be a successful crit racer, then you know, it is doable to be up there at the front of the race.
Well, how inspiring to hear a champion like Bex Durrell reveal that it's possible to work your way from the back of the grid to the front. Reassuringly for young riders who hope one day to match her achievements, Bex hasn't always found the Tour Series plain sailing. Here she describes her debut way back in 2014.
Oh man, I won't say it because I'll be swearing, but let's just say it was very, very difficult. I remember it really well. So it was actually up in Edinburgh, and it was the year that Katie Archibald won it. And I'll be honest, back then I didn't really know who was who. I just enjoyed bike race and I'd just turn up. There was a cobble climb. I mean, it's ironic because since then I love cobble climbs, but I mean, at the time it was so difficult because I'd never really ridden on a circuit like that. And the front of the field, well, it just got smashed to bits in true Katie Archibald style. But I remember thinking, wow, I've got a lot of work to do. If I want to get to that level, A, I don't even know whether I can with fitness, whether I'm just not gifted enough, and B, there's a hell of a lot to do. But it was a great line in the sand and I enjoyed it, and it was the atmosphere that really kind of drew me to it. It's actually quite funny when you look at the years since then, and obviously the success since then. Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy journey.
The irony of Bex struggling on the cobbled sections of the Edinburgh circuit will not be lost on anyone familiar with her two subsequent victories at the Lincoln Grand Prix, a race notorious for its brutal and cobbled Michaelgate climb. COVID put a stop to the Tour Series in 2020, but in 2019, the last time it was held, Bex was a pivotal member of the series-winning Brother UK Tifosi, powered by Onform team. So dominant was the squad, in fact, that Beck's sternest opposition came from her co-leader, Anna Henderson, who now plies her trade with Jumbo-Visma in the Women's World Tour. Mark Botley was an eyewitness to Anna's early success with Team Onform and believes she stands as an example of how a young rider can use the Tour Series as a shop window.
She clearly had so much ability you know, it really did shine. The Durham rounds were just absolutely fantastic. You could just see what a special rider she was. In actual fact, it's a shame really that there isn't a Durham round this year, because I think Becky Story would be one in particular who would be so up for that. That would be right up her street, that would. But yeah, the actual Tour Series, it's a window of opportunity for riders to really, really impress. And Anna is a classic example of somebody who just showed what she's capable of. And then she kind of got in the GB team, rode fantastic at the Worlds in Yorkshire. And look where she is now. Other riders will be thinking, well, what a shop window, what opportunity to showcase what we can do. And I'm certain there's going to be, not necessarily from our team, not necessarily from CAMS, there will be one or two riders this year that will really go up in the public eye, so to speak.
Interestingly, Joey didn't make his Tour Series debut until he was already an established rider. As the son of legendary British pro Chris Walker, however, Joey is a natural-born crit racer. Here, Joey reflects on the savage demands of racing flat out on a city centre circuit and draws a contrast with point-to-point road racing, where the effort is longer, but not always so intense.
It's fast-paced, it's aggressive, and the crowd, they really get you going sort of thing. So it's my sort of favourite racing, and a lot of people love it, and it's really big in Britain. It has been since sort of my dad's era. And yeah, it's part of the British racing scene, really. You are finding the limit of your tyres, especially like Ilkley. I didn't have time to recce the course, so I'd never done it before, until lap one of the race. So yeah, going down that descent into the fast bend blind, it's a scary experience. But as soon as you've done a couple laps of the circuit, you know how fast you can go. And you're always pushing that limit. You've got to be on the limit of crashing, because then you know you're going fast enough. Crit racing, you're setting off, you're in the red zone on lap one, and you don't come out of the red till the finish. So it's literally an hour at threshold, whereas a road race, there's obviously the fight for the breakaway, which is like a crit intensity. And then once the break's been formed and everyone's happy, there's sort of that little chill period where you can have a little chat, and sounds pretty good, but you can take it all in, and then before picking up at the end again. It's sort of three parts to a road race, whereas crit is just an hour. You've got what you've got, and it's hard.
Hard is putting it mildly, and the physical challenge doesn't begin and end with the effort of the race. The Tour Series represents a specific period on the calendar, 2 weeks normally, and 1 week this year, when the riders must switch their preparation from grueling road races to short, sharp crits. Rebecca reveals that this isn't always easy, even for a rider who is not only the reigning British circuit race champion, but is the reigning National Road Series champion too.
It's quite tricky, actually. The UK scene in itself, if you want to be successful in a range of races, it's a tricky mix. Early season is, well, it varies each year, but that year for us, for the women, early season started with the Klondike Grand Prix, which was fairly early. I remember it being quite cold. I can't remember what month it was, but it was fairly early on. Then you have the Tour of Yorkshire, which is completely kind of different kettle of fish. It's the calibre of the field that's there, the parkour. You need to be really fit and going pretty well if you want to achieve things in that. But then straight after, you're into the Tour Series, followed a couple of days after the Lincoln Grand Prix, back into the Tour Series, and then for the remainder of the season, you're back into the road races, and if you want them to go abroad, into some kind of UCI stage races and stuff. So it's a delicate mix. You've really got to prioritise what you want to succeed in. And for me, it was just quite lucky that I'd had a good enough winter to have an elevated level of fitness compared to previous years. And that just stood me in good stead, really, for the whole season. I think it definitely helps having a strong team as well, because when you race as a team, obviously, you're more likely to be successful. It's hard, and I think it takes a few years, usually, to be able to experiment with your training and figure out how to make it all work in the season.
There's a further dimension to the demands faced by the athletes. Once the Tour Series is underway, teams and riders must typically manage long transfers and late nights. This year's series, the compressed, week-long campaign with three rounds in close geographical proximity, is the exception. But Joey explains that the Tour Series' typical two-week schedule places additional demands on the performers who take centre stage when the flag falls.
The Elite Circuit Series is quite spaced out. There's a week in between events, whereas the Tour Series, you race in one round. You've got a day in between to travel, then you're on that night again. So it's not like a stage race, but it is, because you've got that fatigue that's carried over, if you like. So that definitely makes it harder as well, yeah. You definitely do what you can recovery-wise, but there's only so much you can do. You know, say if there's one round and you are finishing at like 10 o'clock most nights and you've had your caffeine, so you're not sleeping till 2. And it really adds up, you know, the lack of sleep, the effort before bed. Ideal scenario, you do a spin the day before, but it all depends on travel because some transfers can be like 4 or 5 hours and stuff. So you've just got to do everything you can and then the next round hope that you have recovered enough to go again.
Team Brother UK on-form manager Mark Botley is very pleased with the composition and position on the calendar of the 2021 Tour Series. He believes the unique circumstances of a sport attempting to begin again after the enforced absence of COVID offers an opportunity for it to restructure, notably for British Cycling's National Road Series.
It's come at the perfect time because it fits really nicely in the calendar as we are for 2021. It's very good to have something there and was much needed because there was a bit of a 4-week gap really where, yes, the odd National B race, but it's good for the riders to have something to kind of focus on before Rydale. This year, we've had Cycle Classic in June, July, and yet the National Championships at the end of October or middle of October. It kind of makes you think, well, actually, is this the way forward? Are we missing a trick here? Is this not an opportunity to actually have an actual proper look at maybe restructuring how we structure the national series, and rather than having it condensed in such a small period of time, maybe this is the opportunity to think, well, actually, this really worked. Maybe some national series races could run a little bit later. I mean, back when I was racing, the Tour, the peak was always in September, and that's when the Premier calendar finished, not midway through August. I think it's a good opportunity to kind of change things, maybe. I think 2021 is, if nothing else, it's given people a reason to look at the way things are done and thought, well, maybe we could just alter things.
Deciding whether or not to restructure the National Road Series is very much a matter for British Cycling, but Tour Series organiser Sweet Spot are keen to return to their traditional May slot. With that said, Peter is open to the potential of 2 week-long blocks of crit racing and identifies Britain's biggest cities as the ultimate venue for the Tour Series.
This year, it is, as you say, the muffer of necessity. It's worked very well in terms of we've got this week slot. It's just before, obviously, events like Lancaster and Rydale and road racing comes back. And all three events complement each other well in that we go from Gisborough to Sunderland to Castle Douglas. They're relatively geographically compact. And certainly for teams, we're basically giving them 3 events in 6 days. It certainly logistically helps them. The ambition, certainly for next year, is to be back into May. That's what we're planning for at the moment. There's always the slight, we don't quite know what COVID's going to bring or what the winter is going to bring. But hopefully, you know, we should be in a better place in 2022 than 2021. So absolutely the aim is May. And I think British Cycling, you know, were very good to give us the window in August because they recognised that they wanted Tour Series events to take place. And I think other organisers were very good as well in basically allowing that. So thanks to them. But yeah, the aim would be next year to be back in May and to have more events. Works really well this year. 3 events, nice short, sharp series, gives people the racing, but ultimately we do want and need more events to, I suppose, make it commercially viable as well. You know, perhaps 2 events a week spread out over 2 or 3 weeks. It's interesting, though, the point about how 1 week works really well, and perhaps it should be 2 one-week blocks with a week off in between, 3 in the north, 3 in the south, etc., etc. We don't know. I mean, the thing we'd love to do is obviously get into some really big city centres as well with it. You know, your Manchesters, your Birminghams, your Bristols. It'd be great to do that a bit like we used to see in the Kellogg Criterium days.
Peter's use of the C word, commercial, takes us to the heart of the challenge of staging bike races of any scale, let alone a national series like the Tour Series. Critically, one that is largely dependent on local authority funding. Phil Jones says that councils hit by austerity and then by COVID, who might previously have looked at the Tour Series as a tool to promote sustainable travel, might now view it as an opportunity to revitalise high streets decimated by lockdown.
I know a number of chief executives who are in charge of local authorities, and it really is a thankless task because they have so much to do. Of course, over the last 15 months or so, almost their main effort's been about just handling the healthcare crisis. And amongst all of that, of course, part of their job is for economic development for their region. And as part of that, we've obviously seen that has taken a fairly big knock, obviously, during the COVID period. But actually, in the period before that, we can't also forget there was a long period of austerity where a lot of the local authorities were having to deal with very, very big budget cuts. And that was meaning they didn't really have an awful lot of money to do what might be deemed as nice to have initiatives, like perhaps hosting a round of the tour series. So what we saw, I think, began to emerge was that particularly those local authorities who had a strong interest in promoting sustainable travel as part of their budget, they might have perhaps won some money from the government, and they would use the tour series to sort of link into their sustainable transportation or environmental-based strategic objectives. But of course, the game has changed again. So now we've got this issue where, frankly, the city centres have been empty for a long time. And now the local authorities need to kickstart those local economies again. They really, really do. So for me, there's a really good opportunity, I think, for 2022 for those local authorities to get re-engaged with this idea of using a sport like crit racing to get those city centres full again.
Phil makes a compelling case, and reassuringly, Peter says that local authority interest in the tour series remains high. Peter offers a 2021 series comprised entirely of new venues, Gisborough, Sunderland and Castle Douglas, as Exhibit A. He does concede, however, that commercial backing has been harder to find. The tour series will run this year, for example, without a title sponsor, following the conclusion of a partnership with OVO Energy. But with a hugely impressive track record, few would bet against Sweet Spot driving the tour series to new heights in 2022. Phil tips his hat to their hosting this year of the Women's Tour and the Tour of Britain, the other jewels in Sweet Spot's crown, and says his dealings with its commercial team have revealed relief at being back underway.
Without a doubt, there's a real excitement. Certainly when I talk to the commercial guys at Sweet Spot, you know, they're so happy that they can finally get this rolling. There's been so many sort of stop-goes about whether our real blue-ribboned races, the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour, would actually happen in 2021. And obviously now we know that they will happen. I think there's a great sense of relief for everybody involved in the organisation there that they can just crack on now and get this delivered and kind of get back to some sort of normality and get some of these top teams over, the top riders over, and really kind of showcase again everything that the sport has to offer.
What the Tour Series has to offer is exhilarating racing with a challenging tactical component. Unlike the National Circuit Series, it's not enough for a team pursuing overall victory to rack up a host of individual wins. The Tour Series is, first and foremost, a team competition, where a team's ranking is based on the aggregate finishing times of individual members. Bex Durrell says that protecting the position of teammates is an extra challenge for leaders in the hunt for individual victories.
It changes with each round. It's a moving picture, isn't it? A moving target. You've got to adapt as the Tour Series goes on. But I think every team goes into it wanting to get the win in the first round, because then you've got the wind in your sails, you've got the points, and you've got the jersey, you've got the momentum. From then on, it's working to the strengths of your team. And there's races within the race, if that makes sense. If a break goes up the road, everybody just doesn't sit up and think, oh, they're gone, we'll just cruise around for the rest of the race. It's a battle for every single position, and that's what makes it so exciting. So you really just have to go in there and work to your strengths. And for example, if one of your teammates is having a bit of a hard day, you've actually got to be mindful. If you're at the front of the race, you've got to be thinking of them as well, because you need all of the points you can get. If you spit them out the back of the race, then that potentially is the team classification gone. You've got to think about the whole picture. You can't just think about what's happening at the head of the race. So it's quite interesting in that respect.
Tactics vary with the experience of the team. For Bex Durrell, whose CAMS Basso squad will defend the title they won in 2019 as Brother UK Tifosi powered by Onform, maximising the team's score is an obvious consideration. For young squads like Team Brother UK Onform, the approach is less planned and more dynamic. Here's manager Mark Botley.
You always have to think on the feet, kind of go in there with a bit of a plan, which is just to kind of get riders up the road or in that first kind of 10 or 15. If we can kind of come away with two or three riders in the first 15 or 20, then I think we'd have done an absolutely fantastic job. You battle for everything. Every place is crucial. As regards actual team tactics, I think the first round, we just see what happens. We just try and race as competitively as we can. And then we see where we are overall as a team after the first round. And then maybe take it from there for the second and third round. A particular course suits a particular rider. They might excel on one particular course. And then the other two courses, it doesn't suit them, you know. So it is very difficult to kind of have a clear plan. I think the first round, we just ride aggressively, get in there, get in amongst them and show everybody what we can do, you know, and then move on to the second, third round. If we get the opportunity to ride more as a team to either defend a place or try and push higher up overall, then all well and good.
It's the nature of elite competition in any sport that victory is achieved only by the strongest. Of the hundreds of riders who've raced around of the Tour Series since 2009, just a handful have won. So how does victory taste? Bex Durrell's win in front of vast crowds in Salisbury in May 2019 is one that sticks in my mind. On a memorable night for Brother UK-sponsored teams, Freddy Sheska and Ed Clancy crowned a dominant performance in the men's race with a 1-2 finish for Vitus Pro Cycling. Rebecca calmly lowered her arms as she crossed the finish line, rolled across the car park to the podium, and offered a good-natured apology to the Lady Mayoress for soaking her in champagne. Those are my memories. How does Bex recall it?
I think the overwhelming feeling with any race wins for me, I think it's different for every person, but it's actually relief. It's like an overwhelming sense of relief. And that in itself is quite powerful. And obviously, like, it's really exciting and it's a massive rush and it's a big adrenaline hit. But I think when you're trying to achieve results and you're putting quite a lot at stake to try and achieve them, when you do actually pull them off, yeah, it's a massive relief. And that feeling in itself is awesome. Salisbury was... It was different. That was special because the crowds were immense. I mean, it was a gorgeous evening, wasn't it? Normally you kind of get a quiet area of the circuit, but Salisbury was pretty busy all the way around. And I think everyone was pretty boozed in the town centre and they were all enjoying the pizzas and the beer and everything. So it was a proper party atmosphere. So that was definitely a special one. I had family there as well. I mean, to be honest, I have family at most of the races. I'm really lucky, but I think when they're there as well and they get to be a part of it, enjoy it, and it's even more special.
Joey first tasted individual victory at the Tour Series by winning the Durham Round in 2019. For most visitors, the magnificent cathedral is Durham's most memorable feature, but it's the cobble climb that sticks in the memory of most Tour Series riders, including Joey, who's since shown himself to have a special affinity with crit racing's roughest ramps.
Yeah, obviously I've got real fond memories of that. Circuits like Durham and Rochester, you know, short, sharp climbs in crits, they really do suit me. And Ilkley was the same. It just suits my style, really. So, yeah, it was, I think Durham, it split from, because it was quite a wet night and there's a dead turn into the cobbles as well, which don't make it easier. So the first four or five laps was a fight to get into that corner. And then once it starts splitting up a bit, you can sort of relax a bit. And I had John Mould with me. I was feeling really good on the night. And I remember saying to John, I'm going to attack next lap. But this was still like 15 minutes in. And he was like, don't you dare. Because obviously I'd never done Durham before. And he just said to me, don't attack now because you're going to need the extra energy at the end. So it was good to have John there to like calm me down a bit. And yeah, use that attack at the end and solo to victory. But it still annoys me that they messed up the lap board. So I didn't get to celebrate.
Despite the exhilaration of their Tour Series victories at Durham and Salisbury, both Rebecca and Joey have even bigger circuit race victories on their palmarès. The 2019 British Circuit Race Championships in Rochester were notable for three things: cobbles, vast crowds, and a one-on-one dogfight to decide the winner in both the men's and women's races. Let's start by hearing Joey's memories of his last gasp triumph over Isaac Mundy, a victory immortalised in a magnificent photograph that might also be titled Agony and Ecstasy.
It's really just you in the moment. It's weird how you hear the crowd, but you don't hear the crowd, if you know what I mean. It's just background noise. And when I crossed that line, couldn't really hold in the celebration. It was what it was, you know. It was just whatever years of dreaming of a win like that, it just came out. So yeah, that's the story behind the picture. And it's a great picture. And yeah, one of my biggest wins. Again, it was a short, sharp climb. So me and Isaac jumped away and we held off a canyon team chasing. So we were going well. And then coming into the sprint, I didn't really want to lead it out anyway because it was a headwind. And then in the last left hand, I remember it so well, Isaac like wheels skipped on the corner. And that's what sort of unsettled him for the sprint then. And he unclipped, obviously. Yeah, it's a shame because he might say different, but I did feel like I was going to come around him anyway because it was headwind. But it's a shame we didn't get to have it out to the line. But yeah, it made a good picture anyway.
And how about Rebecca? Her race to the national title brought her wheel to wheel with defending champion and teammate Anna Henderson. The two riders who had spearheaded Brother UK Tifosi's team competition triumph in the Tour Series were suddenly set against each other. It was Bex who emerged victorious at the end of a gripping, race-long duel.
It was just a massive relief. It was like, that was the overwhelming feeling. You go into a race with a plan or kind of a, like half a plan, you know, roughly what you want to achieve. You haven't always got the legs to be able to do it, but you at least have a plan in place. With that race, the plan was just to basically go as hard as possible and try and split everything up. We didn't plan to do it as a team necessarily, but it happened as a team because we had such a strong crit racing squad that year. From there, it was just trying to be clever. And obviously me and Anna were teammates and we knew our each other's strengths and weaknesses pretty well. So it was a case of just playing to that and having fun with the race as well, because, you know, you want to enjoy it. And especially when the crowds are there cheering you on, you want to put on a bit of a show. So yeah, it was a case of that and just trying to keep a bit of a cool head. Yeah, again, crossing the finish line, massive relief, because the days leading up to it, I kind of had that feeling that, you know, there's a good chance that I could win this if I play my cards right and if I do everything right. You always need a little bit of luck on the day. But yeah, it all went well. And obviously I won on the night. So it was awesome. I was absolutely buzzing after that. It was brilliant.
Victory at the National Championships brings a very special prize, a white jersey emblazoned with red and blue stripes. Incredibly, because of COVID, Bex had to wait more than a year to wear the jersey in competition, a privilege extended by British Cycling in the absence of any British Circuit Race Championships in 2020. By that time, she had an even greater prize, baby Jasper. Despite finding the demands of a sleepless infant incompatible with the demands of an elite athletic career, Rebecca finally pulled on the jersey last month for the Otley Grand Prix.
After winning the national jersey at Rochester, I didn't ever wear it in a race. It's a big thing for me. You know, it was a big achievement and it's a sense of pride. You want to stand there on the start line wearing the national stripes. So it was a case of thinking, you know, when I was pregnant and when I first had Jasper, right, will there be an opportunity for me to do this? Because when I was first thinking about it, there were a lot of races that were still getting cancelled, yet Otley seemed to be the one that was... it was definitely going to be there. So that I made the decision. I thought, right, I'm going to go for Otley. You know, if I don't get round it, I don't get round it. But at least I've pulled the jersey on, I've done it and I've ticked that box and I've achieved that. So that was it for me. And I loved it. It was hard. I sounded like I smoked 50 a day afterwards. But it was, it was brilliant. And since then, I've actually struggled to get out training as much because Jasper's just not sleeping and I'm just exhausted, to be honest, and I just don't have capacity for it at the minute. Some must do, and hats off to them. I just don't know how they do it. Maybe they've got a baby that sleeps a bit better, or maybe they're just superhuman. But for me, it's just not doable at the minute.
Joey, by contrast, has had several opportunities to wear his national champions jersey and will do so again when the Tour Series begins in Gisborough on Sunday, August the 8th. Earlier outings in the stripes have convinced him that the jersey is not a garment worn lightly. Its effect on spectators and on his rivals, he says, is unmistakable.
I do and I don't. It's sort of added pressure to what already is a high pressure race. You know, crits are really intense, so to have the jersey as well, it's like sort of extra pressure, because even if you're in the crowd on the side of the road and you're watching the race come past, you always pick out the national jersey, even if you don't know who the rider is, someone might be watching, oh, he's the national champ. So yeah, you always get picked out, and I've definitely noticed it's harder to jump away because you're marked a lot. So yeah, I think in the Tour Series gonna have to play around with tactics a bit and see how I can win.
Winning will naturally be high on the agenda of Joey's team, the Brother UK sponsored Crimson Performance Orientation Marketing Squad. After less than 3 years in the sport, Matt Hallam's team will travel to Gisborough, Sunderland, and Castle Douglas with genuine hopes of victory. The team Brother UK London Women's Squad will do the same, and while Brother UK on-form manager Mark Botley has been very modest in this podcast, many observers will watch the progress of Becky Story and Imani Pereira-James with the keenest interest. Let's leave the final word to Peter Hodges. Sweet Spot Group's communications director has met all the champions and travelled the length and breadth of the country since 2009 to promote the Tour Series. Is it possible then, from such a vast archive, to choose a favourite round?
Of the 107 rounds, I think I've attended 102 of them, rather worryingly.
which is a lot of laps. I don't want to even think about how many laps. And also, I don't want to even think about some of the poor riders have had to put up with me an awful long time at these events. Is there a favourite ever event? Ooh, Ipswich in 2013, I think it was excellent. Our final round in Ipswich, packed crowds, really, really good. The two Salisbury events were fantastic as well. Great crowds, really good location with that market square and everything within it, helped by the good weather. To be honest, I think the winner has to go to probably Aberdeen. You know, we did 2017, 18 and 19, and now Aberdeen's got the Tour of Britain this year. We have beautiful weather. It is a amazing city. You know, for anyone, any listeners that haven't been, I do encourage them to go to Aberdeen and to look at it, because until you go there, you don't realise what great sort of buildings, museums, galleries they've got. But brilliant city centre, brilliant weather, great circuit, and the support was incredible. We had a huge crowds. We had packed support events throughout the whole day. All the shops, even the likes of McDonald's and Sainsbury's, had put stuff in their windows to promote the event. So Aberdeen was absolutely brilliant and really is the sort of, yeah, probably one of the highlights. And that first year in Aberdeen, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And the second year has proved to be nearly as good as well.
Let's finish in our traditional fashion with a social shout out. If you want to follow any of our expert witnesses, you can do so at the following addresses. You can follow the Tour Series at Tour Series on Facebook and Twitter, and at The Tour Series on Instagram. You can follow Joey Walker on Twitter and Instagram at Joey Wack, all one word, JoeyWack. Rebecca Durrell is on Twitter at Bex Durrell, and on Instagram at Bex _Durrell. You can follow Mark Botley on Twitter at Bourne Coach, BOURNE, and on Instagram at Botley Mark. Botley, of course, BOTTELEY. Peter Hodges is on Twitter and Instagram at Peter D. Hodges. Phil Jones, our managing director, is on Twitter at RoadPhil for cycling and at PhilJones40 for management and leadership. And we sincerely hope you'll follow Brother Cycling. We're at Brother Cycling on all three channels. Many thanks indeed to all of our guests, and most of all to you for listening. In these uncertain times, when COVID is still very much with us, then do please stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.